नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 19 द आइलैंड ऑफ जम्बूद्वीप टेक्स्ट 27 सत्यं दिशत्यर्थितं अर्थितो नृणां नैवार्थदो यत्पुनरर्थिता यतः स्वयं विधत्ते भजतामनिच्छिताम् इच्छापिधानं निजपादपल्लवम् सत्यम्. ट्रांसलेशन. द सुप्रीम पर्सनॅलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड फुलफिल्स द मटेरियल डिझायर्स ऑफ अ डिवोटी हु अप्रोचेस हिम विथ सच मोटिव्स, बट ही डज नॉट बेस्टो बेनिडिक्शन्स अपॉन द डिवोटी दॅट विल कॉज हिम टू डिमांड मोर बेनिडिक्शन्स अगेन. हाउएवर द लॉर्ड विलिंगली गिव्ज द डिवोटी शेल्टर ॲट इज लोटस फीट even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Purport. The devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives. But this verse explains how such devotees are saved from those desires. श्रीमद भागवतम कैंटो 2 थर्ड चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 10 एडवाइजेस अकाम वा सर्व काम वा मोक्ष काम उदारधि तीव्रेन भक्ति योगेन यजेत पुरुषम परम. वेदर वन इज फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल मटेरियल डिझायर्स, इज फुल ऑफ मटेरियल डिझायर्स और डिझायर्स टू बिकम वन विथ द सुप्रीम, ही शुड एंगेज इन डिवोशनल सर्विस. इन दिस वे not only will the devotee's desires be fulfilled, but a day will come when he will have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. One who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called sakama bhakta, and one who serves the Lord without any motives is called akama bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a sakama bhakta into an akama bhakta. A pure devotee and akam bhakta who has no material motives is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, yam ladhva cha param labham manyate na adhikam tatha. If one engages in service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind even to a sakam bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an akam bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than that of his father. But finally he became an akam bhakta and said to the Lord, Swamin Kurtharthosmi Varam Na Yache. My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweetmeat. Devotees who aspire for material benefits are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that he takes away their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled and at the end he can go back home, back to Godhead. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 22 verses number 37 to 39 and 41 as follows. Prabhupada has given the word-to-word meaning of the verses, so I'll just read it quickly. Anya kami, a devotee may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yadi kare Krishnera bhajan. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. The Lord says, he is engaged in my service, but he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Such a devotee is like a person who asks for a poison instead of nectar. That is his foolishness. But I am experienced. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. If one engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, the result is that he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. He then gives up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. Anya kami yadi kare krishnera bhajan na magite krishna tare dena swacharan. Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay sukh amrita chhadi mage ei bada murkh. Ami vidnya ei murkha vishay kena diba swacharan buddhiya vishay bhulaiba. Krishna lagi kama lagi krishna bhaje kare rase kama chhadi dase hoite haya abhilashe. So Srila Prabhupada is quoting from this Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in the yesterday's verse, the day before yesterday's verse, we heard, and few days before that, that how this land of Bharat Varsha especially glorious because the place, the circumstance, everything offers a very conducive surroundings for practicing spiritual life. But then here it has been described that still sometimes we see in the land of Bharat Varsha there are people who worship many demigods. They don't worship the Supreme Lord. That is what was yesterday's verse. And they do so many puja and like that, oblations. And they consider demigods to be part and parcel of the whole. And they do it simply to fulfill their material desires. And some of them think that it's okay to worship a part of the Supreme Lord for some material desires. It was stated in yesterday's verse. The Supreme Lord accepts these offerings. Yesterday's verse, and gradually raises the worshippers to a real standard of devotional service by fulfilling their desires and aspirations. Because the Lord is complete, he offers the worshippers the benedictions they desire, even if they worship only part of his transcendental body. So even though the worshippers worship only the part, that is demigod, but the Lord is complete, and he offers the complete results. And how that is being done is described in today's verse. That even if somebody worships the Supreme Lord with material benedictions, the Lord, even though he is not asking for shelter at the lotus feet, the Lord still, out of his full complete compassion, he gives such a worshipper the shelter at his lotus feet. So, and Srila Prabhupada quotes this famous verse from second canto, Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udardhi. Tiurena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That what is only required in this world is to worship the Supreme Lord in spite of all or any. There is no need to discuss I am having material desires or I don't have material desires or I am having that desire or this desire or I am pure or I am not pure or I am very fallen or high class, low class. Just there is no need to discuss any of these prerequisites or any of these conditions. Because here the conditions have been, all types of conditions are there. Akamava, sarva kamava, you may be without desires or all desires, or moksha kam, desire to get liberated. But still, you should worship only Supreme Lord. Many people, they think the real teachings of Vedic culture is a pantheistic. That means there are many thousands of gods and you worship anyone. Worship of multiple personalities. But actually the real teachings of the Vedic culture, the real essence of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic scriptures is actually monotheistic. A worship of only Supreme Lord. Yesterday we were reading first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there Srila Prabhupada states, there is no need to worship for what, worship the supreme demigods whatsoever for a human being. Doesn't mean we disrespect them, but there is no need to worship. Even if we have material desires, as it is stated in this verse, still we should approach Krishna. It may not be the best type of worship accepted. It is sakam bhakti. But still, even if one is with material desires, he should still approach the Supreme Lord. There is no need to go to any other personality, demigod or powerful human being to get his material desires fulfilled. And as we have heard in Bhagavad Gita, even the demigods, it may appear that they fulfill your material desires. But actually Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that even the desires which demigods fulfill, they also actually come from me. So the point is clear. We may be with motive, without motive, but we should approach the Supreme Lord. Because even as we discussed in the previous verse, even if we approach the Supreme Lord, even if we approach the demigods with motive, the Supreme Lord has to first make us progress from the demigods to worshipping the Supreme Lord with motive. And then he will take us further ahead. So we can approach the, even though we have material desires, we approach the Supreme Lord. Your desires will be fulfilled over there also. And also, the demigods gives you fulfillment of your desires only by the mercy of Krishna. At the same time, approaching the Supreme Lord has many other advantages also. We see in Krishna Lila, especially, we'll discuss two examples today. One of Kubja, the society girl, and another of Chanur and Mushtik. We see both these people. Kubja, she was plainly attracted to Krishna on material sense gratification level. She was lusty for Supreme Lord. She was not thinking, oh, he's Supreme Lord, and I should serve him in Madhurya Ras or something like that. She was plainly attracted to Krishna for satisfying her own senses. The difference is she was attracted to Krishna for satisfying her own senses. The gopis are there, but they want to satisfy Krishna's senses. But here, Kubja, she was not thinking any other devotion. She was just thinking, he is a beautiful person, and with him I want to satisfy my senses. And there was Chanur and Mushtik who were envious and who were thinking of Krishna just to have a fight with them and kill them, because they were wrestlers. They always wrestle. So they were thinking, oh, this Krishna is there. We have heard he has killed many demons. Let me see how powerful he is. Let me wrestle with him and kill him. These people had no other motives other than these two, plain material motives. But we see when Krishna came to Mathura, first he met this lady Kubja. And although she was not very beautiful to look at, she was having hunchback and not at all beautiful to look at, not properly walking or even standing. But still she had desire to enjoy with Krishna. So Krishna came, and then he just first initially touched her chin and raised her. So in this one action, actually Krishna performed a multiple task. We have our Bhaktinath Hospital, and we call it holistic health care. They take care of your body, the mind and the soul. But Krishna is the founder of that holistic health care, we can see. He did a very wonderful neuroplastic mental spiritual operation. He made the body of Kubja perfect, also orthopedic bones. He straightened the bones. He made the nervous system correct, and also did some plastic surgery, and then also cured her mental disposition, and then also cured the soul by giving devotion. So Krishna, we can see, is very expert. Just by touching and raising her, he did such a wonderful operation for her whole body, mind and soul. So even though she was attracted to Krishna just to enjoy on plain sense level, but Krishna accepted that. He satisfied her that desires also. But at the same time, he gave her pure love of God. Now we can see this Chanur and Mushtik. They were envious. They wanted to fight with Krishna and maybe sometimes kill or defeat him. But Krishna also came there. And then when Krishna came, what he did? He fought with those Chanur and Mushtik. But it is explained by Acharyas that actually when they are fighting, these Chandra and Mushtika were fighting with Krishna, they were getting the same pleasure or same experience which the cowherd boys in Vrindavan, they get when they wrestle with Krishna. And Krishna was embracing them sometimes in the fight and trying to push them. So same pleasure with the cowherd boys they get in Vrindavan, same pleasure by was given to Chandra and Mushtik. And in that touch with Krishna, they are also purified. So if we analyze, actually, somebody can accuse that Krishna is merciless. He was already with great devotees like gopis and gopas and Nanda Maharaj. And apparently he gave them up to meet Kubja and Chanur and Kamsa, who had nothing but material desires. They are fearful, they were lusty, they were envious. And here they were devotees like completely surrendered, Madhurya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras. And Krishna apparently gave them up and came to Mathura to meet such people. But actually if we see, today we'll discuss this because today our point will be how Krishna is a supreme multitasker in this modern age of competition. Wherever we go to job, we are this. Everyone has to become multitasker. He has given five works. And if you can do five works simultaneously, then you are considered an expert person in your job or profession. Your brain has to be completely stressed out. You think of this, think of that. So even though Krishna came here to fulfill the material desires, but he also saw to it that the devotees who were in Vrindavan were actually, their consciousness, their love of Krishna, their attraction of Krishna was also raised to a more higher level in the absence of Sri Krishna. Therefore, Krishna, if he does anything, like in Hindi, there is one saying, ek tir mein do pakshi marna, ek tir mein do panchi or something. That's what a human being can do. In one task, they can achieve two results. But if you see Krishna in one act, he achieved thousands of results, hundreds of results or millions of results. And therefore, for him, it may be very difficult. Devotee, worshipping demigod with material desire, then make his faith fixed on Krishna, then fulfill his desire, then purify him, and then take him back to Godhead. So many things, how can Krishna do? Here there is a devotee, Sakam Bhakta of demigods. And then he has to first fulfill his desire, make his faith fixed on Krishna, then remove his desire, then purify him, and also take him back to Godhead. Such a difficult task. So many tasks. And there are so many thousands of devotees like that. In this material world, pure devotees are very rare. Millions of devotees are Sakam Bhakta. But Lord Shri Krishna can easily do it. He himself states that in Bhagavad Gita, in that verse, famous verse, Paritranaya, Sadhuna, Vinashaya, Dushkutam, Dharma Sansthapanarthaya. So there Krishna is telling that I come for these three causes. To protect the devotees, to kill the demons, and to re-establish the religious process. And also we know from Bhagavatam that he also comes to give pleasure to the devotees. So although he is coming once, but he does so many things at one time. He is not stressed out or becomes, oh, I have to kill this, then I have to... No, simultaneously. While killing demons, he purifies them, he gives pleasure to devotees, he re-establishes the religion. While he was killing Kaliya, he was purifying the demon, increasing the bhakti of Nagapatnis, putting the Vrajvasis into separation, and also dancing, enjoying himself. So he can do all these things simultaneously. And it was not at all stressful a bit for him. You also know Lord Chaitanya. He appeared for six reasons. Three external and three internal reasons. And in short 48 years of life, he fulfilled all those reasons completely. In the same case where Lord Krishna comes to Mathura, there is that famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mallanam Ashtanir Nunam Naravaro Srinam Smaro Murtiman Gopanam Swajano Asatam Shitibhujam Shasta Swapitro Shishu Murtyur Bhojapate. That Lord Krishna was the same person walking in the arena of Mathura. But for these 10 types of people, the wrestlers, Mallanam, Ashnir, then Nunam, for the kings, for the ordinary people, for the Vrishnis, for the Gopas, for the ladies of Mathura, for Kamsa, and all these people, they, Krishna, the same person Krishna, not that he was changing dress, for Gopis different dress, for Vrishnis different makeup. Okay, Vrishnis are seeing me, let me go and come with different makeup. He was the same, exact same Lord Krishna, no change in his behavior, he was walking the same way. But all these devotees were reciprocating with Krishna in a different way. Not that suppose if we are in the job, what to speak at the simultaneously? For human beings, if they get angry in the office, they come and remove the anger in the home. What to speak of simultaneously angry and happy? If we are angry, everyone sees that we are angry, it's clear. Not that 10%, somebody is looking neutral, somebody is feeling I am appearing neutral, somebody is saying I am appearing very joyful. At the same time, it's very far off. Our anger even carries from our home to office, or sometimes office to home. If we get disturbed in the home, we go and chastise somebody in the office. And we get disturbed in the office, we go and unnecessarily chastise our children and family. So this is very far off. Lord Krishna was coming in the arena, and at the same time, he was death, he was Swajan, he was the most beautiful person. All these things, same time. This is Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. For him, there is nothing impossible. Now, what to speak of this 5 and 10? When Lord Krishna would come back from cowherd pasturing field, he would take cows. The Lord Krishna's father, Nand Maharaj, had 900,000 cows. So when he would come back, Lord Krishna had to call all the cows in the evening. Come. And then what he would do? Suppose somebody has to call a list of 9 lakh names. He would call each cow individually. But because he is Krishna, he can do again, as I said, he can just do one thing and then 9 lakh things happen. He would play flute in a very beautiful way. And the sound of flute would just, nectar would flow. And that to hear that nectar, the cows would raise their ears erect. And when they would raise their ears erect, the sound of flute would enter their ears. But what would happen, although Krishna was playing only one flute, but each cow would hear her name being called. 9 lakh names. Each cow would hear her name being called individually. And not that, oh cows, please come here. No, each cow would hear her particular name being called. And hearing her name being called, although Krishna was playing only one flute at one time, each cow would jump, raise her ears and tail, and start jumping and running towards Lord Shri Krishna. And then he would count all of them on beads, and then he would take them back home. So for Lord Shri Krishna to perform all these activities simultaneously is not at all a problem. Therefore, we should understand Lord Krishna can do anything. He can purify the most low-class Sakam, Bhakta, or even envious person. What Sakam is at least better, because he worships the Lord for some motive. And here we are discussing also of demons who are envious or lusty or angry or something like that towards the fearful of Supreme Lord. Lord can even remove that. Therefore, we should understand for us devotees that this bhakti is so glorious. It's so glorious that even those who are envious or sakam, they also get the help of Lord Shri Krishna. Only thing is, we have to perform a devotional service. We have to change our consciousness of our work. That is the supreme message of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, sometimes we say that on one level of understanding, we say Bhagavad Gita was spoken because Arjun wants to go away from his duty, give up his duty of fighting. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita that you should fight. You should do your duty. That is truth on one level of understanding. Not that it is not true. But if we see on a higher level, and if we refer to Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna many times tells Arjun, stand up and fight. Stand up and fight. Get up and fight. Arjun, raise and fight. Kilaibamma, give up this impotency and fight. But 2-3 places in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna says that even though we all helplessly work as per our natures, as per the three modes of nature. So Arjuna, he says at many places, and especially at 2-3 places, that, oh Arjuna, you even though now are desiring to give up your fight under your ego, but you can't do that. Even if you give up your fight now, because you are like, your nature is to fight, you will fight afterwards again. Even if you go to forest, you will fight. And what to speak of forest, Krishna here says in the 18th chapter, even now you are deciding to give up fight, but still afterwards you will again stand up and fight. Because that is your nature as a Kshatriya. So here is some anomaly, like some contradictory things. If Krishna is telling that even if you decide to give up fight now, you are going to fight it anyway. Because that is your nature. Then why the whole hell Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita? You get up and fight, get up and fight, give up impotency and fight, give up laziness and fight. Because Krishna knows he is going to fight anyway. Even if he is deciding no. But a very important point Krishna is telling over here. He is telling in 18th chapter, the concluding chapter of Bhagavad Gita. His text 18.59. He said, if you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will again be engaged in the warfare. So Krishna is telling, even if you decide not to fight, by your nature, you will again fight. So this seems to be contradictory. That why does Krishna was telling whole Gita to fight? Yes, Krishna was knowing. And not only that, in 11th chapter, Lord Krishna says, you are going to fight and also I have fixed up the results. Not only you are going to fight, results have also been fixed up. So Krishna knew that Arjuna is going to fight. Krishna has already fixed up the results that Pandavas are going to win. Then why Krishna is telling? Even if Arjuna fights out for his ego, still Pandavas are going to win because Krishna has fixed up the results. So here everything is known to Krishna and to everyone that Arjuna is going to fight and Pandavas are going to win. But Krishna's main aim of telling, he is telling, if you do not act according to my direction and if you act under false ego, so this Krishna was desiring to change the consciousness of Arjuna. He says, you are going to fight, but right now you will fight under false ego. I want you to fight as a surrendered soul to me. Now, there's a big difference between two. One is just out of ego, he's taking his own decisions. I'll fight, I will not fight. And then he's bound by the laws of actions and reactions. And now Krishna is telling, you are going to fight, but you fight it as surrendered soul, as my order, not your decision. Not your decision with the calculation of enjoyment. Arjuna's decision not to fight was based on the calculation of enjoyment. What I will enjoy if I win or what I will enjoy if I lose. So it said, I will not fight. But Krishna's aim was, you are going to fight, but I want you to fight on based on my decision and not on your egoistic decisions. And that is actually the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita. To change Arjuna's consciousness. Because he was going to fight anyway. And therefore, what was the change of consciousness required? Man mana bhav mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskaru. That is what actually is real message of Gita. Because fighting is not the message. Or neither is non-fighting. And neither the victory is the message. Because all things are fixed up. The message of Gita is to change our consciousness. To always think of Krishna. Man mana bhav mad bhakto. Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru. So if we always think of Krishna and always engage in his service, what happens? 1 minute. Yeah. Here Krishna is telling in same text 56, same range of verses, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotees under my protection reaches the eternal imperishable abode by my grace. So here's the difference. Krishna says, if you worship, okay, all kinds of activities, all desires, but if you start worshipping the Supreme Lord, what happens is, Madha Vyapashraya. Kurvanno Madha Vyapashraya. The souls, all of us, if we just start thinking of Krishna, some way, Krishna's protection comes on us. That is a very special advantage of Bhakti Yoga. In other yogas, where you don't think of Krishna, but you just try to control your senses, purify yourself. You have to advance in spiritual path on your own strength. I will control my senses. I will advance. I will fight again. But here, Krishna is telling, Madhava Vyapashraya, under my protection, is Krishna's worry. Krishna has to think. We see this case in Mahabharata war. When I will just tell in short. When Arjun took that decision, that vow, that I will kill Jayadrath tomorrow, and if not, I will enter fire. That it is described that day night, Arjun had a good sleep. But Krishna was restless. He was turning his sides. Because Arjun, he was not worrying. I will fight. No anxiety. Mother Vyapashraya. Krishna is my protector. But Krishna was thinking how to protect him. And so he was thinking what to do tomorrow. Suddenly this is past time for Lord. But he's showing. He was changing sides. What to do tomorrow? How to protect Arjun? He took such a vow. He doesn't know how to fulfill it. And he's sleeping. Look, we should understand that by this Mother Vyapashraya, the devotees of Lord become free of anxiety. We are free of anxiety. We engage in Krishna's service and He will protect us. He will take care of us. And under His protection, we will go back to the spiritual world. And that is His job. Yes, we have to do our effort to chant attentively and pure. But the job is Krishna's job. It's not my job. It is His anxiety. We, because of having Krishna's protection, we are free from anxiety. Only thing is what we should be doing. Wait, there should be one decision. That should not fail. Na tyajet padam dvayam. As said in Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever may come, whatever happens, I am not going to give up these two lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Akamava sarva kamava. I may have all desires. My heart is not getting purified. I am lusty. I am angry. Whatever it is, we should try to advance. But whatever it is, till I am not going to give up Krishna's lotus feet. If that decision is there, then is Krishna's, he will see, his protection is there. He protected not only some, he protected everyone. He protected Bharata, he protected Prahlad Maharaj, he protected Ambarish Maharaj. The one question, when I was giving this class in base, this question was raised. You are telling of his protection to Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj. They are pure devotees. What about souls like us? His protection is there for all of us. Bhagavatam says, he protected Bharat Maharaj, who was not yet pure. He was advanced, but not pure devotee yet. He protected Ajamil. He was like a lusty and angry person. Only thing is, his protection will come as the need is required. Like, for Ajamil, the protection required was some different way. So it came that way. For Prahlad Maharaj, the protection was, Lord appears and Prahlad garlands the Lord. That was his requirement. That was his requirement for advancing further in spiritual life. To garland the Lord. And Lord did that. For Prahlad, the Lord appeared. But Ajamil's case was that Yamdutas appear. So Lord protected him that way. But protection is always there. Bharat's case was he became a deer and then Jada Bharat. He required that to perfect his life. And then Lord protected him in that way. So his big protection as a deer, he could recollect everything. So the Lord's protection is always there. We should only be fixed up that we are not going to give up these two lotus feet of Supreme Lord. We may be pure or unpure. Yes, Lord will not appear to us like Prahlad Maharaj because we are not at that level of, we don't require that level of protection right now. But He will appear, maybe like Ajamil or maybe like Bharat Maharaj. And He will make it sure that that we achieve perfection in our spiritual life. That's what Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad. I will just quote few verses from Bhagavad Gita again and again. He says that, I just want your devotion. I will protect you. He says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome. See, this chapter, most verses are from 9th chapter. He says, Patram Pushpam Phalam, chapter of devotion, Raj Vidya. Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prachati. You have to just offer with devotion. Then he says, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yejana Parvipasate Tesham Nityabhyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyam. It's my duty to protect you. You don't worry. Then he also says in Bhagavad Gita further, he says, even if devotees sometimes do some mistake, api cheta sudaracharo bhajante mam ananya bhat, if they continue worshipping me, still you should consider them to be sadhus because I will correct them immediately. Shipram bhavatish dharmatma shashvat shantim nigat chati kaunteha prati jane hi name bhakta. Krishna saying, I will correct them. Even though by mistake, suddenly we should understand they are not to be, we should not copy them, but still we should respect them because they will be quickly perfect. They will quickly improve. And then he says further, what to speak of correction or by mistake, doing somebody mistake. Somebody may be low born. or somebody may not be very intelligent, or somebody may have some other defect. Then mami partha vyapashit yepisu papayonaya. Somebody may be in the most lowest birth, even outside Varnashram Dharma, Chandal or somebody like that. Or even in Varnashram like Vaishya and Shudra and Siya, but still, he says, if they worship me, mam hi partha vyapashitya. If they vyapashitya means to take shelter of me, then tepi anti paramgatim. Krishna is promising that even the outcast, he will even come back to paramgatim. So outcast, we can't expect him to be right away, behave like a brahmana or a nishkam bhakta. But if he takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna is promising that tepi anti paramgatim. In 10th chapter, again he promises in the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. He says, Tesham eva anukampartam aham adnyana jamatam nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dipera chetasa. There can be adnyan in your atma bhav, in your heart. Now there can be adnyan means slush, anger, illusion, pride, all these things. So Krishna says, even if there is adnyan, but if they are taking shelter, the previous, what tesham? Those are always thinking of me. If these people are there, even though they may have adnyana jamatama, this darkness born out of ignorance, I will come, Krishna says, nashya atmi atma bhavastu. I am in their heart as Paramatma, and I will remove that ignorance with torch. So here Prabhupada says in the purport, somebody may not be a scholarly devotee, and he cannot read scriptures and maybe quote verses and things like that. But still, if he continues practicing spiritual life, Krishna is promising that I will personally come and give him the required knowledge. And then I will just end up with one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse is being spoken by Nav Yogendras to Maharaj Nimi and glorifying Bhakti. They are telling, Yanasthaya naro rajan. Yan means those who. Asthaya means those who have faith. O king, those people, nara, have faith. What happens? Na pramadet karhichit. Pramadet means they will never go mad. They will not do completely wrong activities anytime. Dhavan nimilya va netre. Even if they are running with blindfold, closing. Nimilya means closing their eyes. What will happen? Na skhalena na pateta iha. They will never slip. Skhalena means fisalna, slip. And pateta means fall down. So glorifying devotional service, Nav Yogendras is telling that even if somebody has faith in me, and if he is running on the path of bhakti, with eyes closed, he will still not stumble or fall or slip. He will reach the final destination, even if his eyes are closed. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur explains some words. He says, first word is asthaya. That means we should have faith on Krishna, and that means we should think of Krishna always. Not that sometimes we do and sometimes we don't do. If we are doing that, then such a person can never do any mistake. Even if he is running blindfolded, what to speak of? And blindfolded means, again, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says, for a brahmanas, Shruti and Smriti are like two eyes. Some brahmana may not have Shruti of knowledge of Shruti. And some person may not have both, knowledge of both Shruti and Smriti. That is called blindfold. But even with such a blindfold, if somebody is running on the path of bhakti, Krishna says still he will never commit a mistake, fall down or slip. He will reach his destination. So this Krishna's protection is available only in a devotional service. And even if the devotional service is misdirected, Krishna will do it properly directed. So therefore you should understand, there is no need to worship anyone else in this world. Only if we surrender to Krishna, that's enough. And Krishna is an expert, as we discussed in our course of lecture. He's an expert multitasker. He can do thousands or millions of things simultaneously, effortlessly. So if we surrender to Krishna, then rest is on Krishna. Mashucha, don't worry. We should just surrender to Krishna and continue our spiritual life and you should be free from anxiety. Let Krishna take care of me. Whenever he wants, let him purify and he will take me back to, he will give me pure devotional service. And then you should just, I will serve Krishna, I will not give up his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. It's already little over time, but if somebody has some comments, Anandan Prabhu, or somebody. Garantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki,